I'm in a cafe near West Ham United football ground with an Arsenal supporter whose name is Jenny Jones, and she's a Green Party member of the London Assembly. And I'm going to ask her, first of all, to tell me how she became a Green Party member and where politics come from.
I'm what most Greens call a lifestyle Green, because I actually came to the Green Party through practicing green measures. Because in the 1970s, environmentalism was all the rage in terms of, small is beautiful and a silent spring. Books like that were seminal and very influential. And so I was growing my own vegetables and recycling my own stuff for quite a number of years before I finally realised if you don't do something political, then you've got less chance of making the real stuff happen.
Okay, and the Green Party has done pretty well in the London Assembly. You've got, again, last time you got two members in. Last time, under Ken Livingstone in his second term, of course, you discovered he was someone you could kind of do business with, at least in some areas of policy. How has it been with Boris thus far?
I can quite honestly say it is very different with Boris. First of all, he doesn't have a philosophy, he doesn't actually have a way forward, whereas Ken very much knew where he wanted to go. He didn't always know how or in what time scale, but he had a very clear idea. Boris is just sort of wandering through a forest, you know, catching sight of pretty flowers and bringing up ideas that have some or no merit. And so there isn't the same feeling that we can do business with him simply because he's all over the place. And we can't actually trust him to do the green thing on even half the occasions.
But he is absolutely insistent that he has become a convert to many environmentalist ideas. He used to be a complete skeptic, but that's all changed. His mantra is cleaner, greener, safer, emphasis on the greener. He says that every day he becomes more and more green in his thinking, and there are, be fair, some policies which you may accept as being authentically green. So surely you're complaining a bit too much about him, aren't you?
Well, I'm the first person to say thank you, Boris, when he does something green, because I'm thrilled at his opposition to the expansion of Heathrow, for example. I think that's a superb thing to do, and I'm 100% behind him on that. But then there are things, for example, he says he wants a lot more cycling, and I absolutely believe he's being honest about that. He does want more cycling here in London, but at the same time he then introduces measures that are in fact going to make it harder for people to cycle, and particularly harder for people to start cycling. A lot of hardened cyclists are always going to cycle, but he is making it more difficult for first-time cyclists.
But he's bringing in this Velo scheme. Let's talk about that particular policy. I mean, that seems quite adventurous and a good idea. What's the problem there?
Oh, no problem at all, because Velib is a great scheme, and we absolutely need it, not only in central London, we really need it in the boroughs, in the suburbs. I think that's where, in fact, it could take a quite large share, modal share of car use, of current car use. But at the same time, I think he hasn't understood that you can't introduce a big scheme like that unless you improve the road conditions. And in Paris, for example, when they introduced Velib, they spent a fortune on putting in cycle lanes, on making it easy for cyclists at junctions. Now that Boris has scrapped the LCN Plus, the road will not be fit to expand the scheme, the Velib scheme, in the way that we think should happen.
But you're pretty fed up about that, I think, aren't you? Because there's actually been a cut in the funding for the completion of that. And these are what many of us would see as, you know, the green bits painted down the sides of roads and so on, but basically parts of roads that are made safe for cyclists. Tell us what your complaint is there.
Well, the point has been about the LCN Plus, that most of the easy bits have been done, but it's great, we need it, and thank goodness it's been done. But now the difficult bits have to be done, and then the difficult bits are where people have most injuries and deaths happen. So it's not good enough to say that, oh, well, it's too difficult and we can't afford it now. Actually, it's crucial to safety in London for cyclists that this goes ahead.
What about another nice sounding policy, that he's got this competition for people to nominate a park that they want some money spent on for improvement? Surely you approve of that?
Absolutely. It's a great idea, and I haven't voted yet, but I will be voting. But again, it's such a little thing to do. It's a fantastic idea, but it's window dressing. It's not getting down to the nitty-gritty of what London really needs. And the first thing London needs is really good public transport. And we've seen an above-inflation price hike on buses and tubes, which to me seems very unfair to people who use public transport, especially when you've actually reduced costs for motorists. So he's actually encouraging motorists and trying to deter public transport. And so something like voting for favourite park just seems to me a little bit trivial compared with the whole issue of public transport.
Are you not excited about the new Routemaster, which is going to be the most environmentally friendly bus that's ever driven across the face of this earth, I believe?
I remain to be convinced about that. I mean, I'm quite shocked that we're going to lose the bendy buses, because although they've got a bad name, in fact they've never killed a cyclist, and I don't think there's been many collisions even. The bendy buses are superb if you are infirm in any way, if you've got a twin buggy, for example, or any sort of pushchair or extra shopping. Those bendy buses are fantastic, and once we take those off, we're going to have to increase the number of buses on those routes, because of course the capacity on the bendy buses is so huge. And so we're actually going to generate more traffic if we remove them. The Routemaster is not the way forward. Again, it's just window dressing.
But I've got to say, I mean, my position on the on Boris's bus policy, which I've been following quite closely for a long time, is that, you know, I can't understand the hatred of bendies. I don't think it really exists, to be quite honest. On the other hand, if 5 years from now, or even 10 years from now, we have this wonderful new bus that Londoners adore, that does all the good things that Boris claims for it, I don't think it'll be possible to say he hasn't won the argument, even if it's costing quite a lot of money to do that. What do you say to that?
I'd say that's all quite hypothetical at this stage, because we absolutely don't know what is going to happen about that bus. I'm somebody who, you know, if I'm wrong about this, I will apologise massively. But I think it's more likely that the situation will have moved on beyond the need for that sort of bus. One of the other things I think Boris isn't dealing with on the public transport issue is the whole idea of traffic reduction. It really isn't good enough to imagine that you can keep providing for the extra population, for the extra journeys necessary. He has completely ignored the issue of traffic reduction, doesn't seem to be doing much on walking, and these are really important things for the future, particularly in terms of air quality.
The Western Extension, which I think he says that he kind of would have quite liked to have kept in a modernised form. He just about managed to say that. But he's always said that the environmental benefits of that were just about non-existent, and losing it will make absolutely no difference. What do you say to that?
Well, when he's talking about environmental benefits, I imagine he's talking about air quality. And he's probably right there, because air quality is... it's very, very difficult to measure that. Air moves around. So to say that if you keep a zone in London pollution free, then everybody gets better air, may not be true. So he might be right on that. But what removing the Western Extension has done is that it has sent out a signal, is that it's okay to use your car. We don't penalise car drivers. And to me, this is so regressive. It is so not the way to go when we are moving into extreme climate change problems. And this mayor is not dealing with them.
For quite a long time, he didn't appoint an environment policy advisor. And I know that you yourself and your colleague, Darren Johnson, were very exercised about that. Then he came up with somebody who surprised a lot of people, Isabel Deadring, who even hardline Ken Livingstone supporter said, well, that's a pretty good choice. You're happy with her?
I think she's absolutely brilliant. And I think of all his advisors, she's certainly amongst the top three of people who really know their job and can probably convince Boris to do the right thing. However, the structure that she's in place within means that she doesn't have deputy mayor status, which I think would have been a real boost to her profile and also a boost to her ability to get things done. And also, she's left there to deal with an awful lot of issues without a very big team around her. So it's going to be difficult for her to make the changes, but I think she's a great person.
Would you have fancied that job?
Absolutely not, no. I mean, the thing about politics is, I think in these days, I think we do have to work cross-party. And I think I proved my ability to work cross-party with Ken Livingstone. You know, he's not an easy person, very talented, very clever, but not easy. And I did manage to work with him. And I managed to work with Tories and Lib Dems and Labour.